afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. And it's nice to be back. Easy for me to say. Nice to be back. We pre-recorded some stuff, and then we had Christmas and all that. So sorry, we've been.
We're red hot and rolling right now.
Okay, we're not red hot and rolling.
Okay, we're not.
Forget it.
Okay, nothing's changed. Everything's the same. It's the same as last year, only just a different number. Bob.
Right, now we do the. Hello, I'm Bob Martin. We did we played back the new show with Jim Lee last week. That was terrific.
Yeah, that we did. What we did? We did it long enough ago, several weeks ago, that I forgot to actually update it on the website. So last week it said it was the 17th of December. I don't know what the heck.
Yeah, but it was a new show. We didn't have to, you know, play an archive.
No, I didn't put the actual show on there. No one could find it.
Oh.
It was hidden.
You're fired.
I know. So I'm sorry. Man. But the archive's up there, and it's all situated from last week. And it was a really good show with Jim Lee. He's always a lot of fun and a lot of information. And, of course, it was tons of fun because we recorded it after another show. So we had, like, 4 hours blocked out, and then partway through the show, he says he has to leave.
That's
but he
right.
Lives in South Carolina, like, so we couldn't even lock him in the building. He was like, he had to go. This is going to be the year where nobody does that to us. I'm like getting little blood oaths from everyone this year. Our guest today.
Yeah, 2 hours means 2 hours.
I was like, okay, and are we good for the 2 hours? Yeah, because it's, you know.
No means no.
No means no, yeah. Yeah, really, didn't they learn that last year? Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Kunda.
Bob already introduced himself because he pays attention. You can always find our information at wethepeopleradio.us, and you have archives all the way stretching back into 2010-ish or so, and they are free. Which I guess is a noteworthy mention, since a lot of the archives for people's programs, they're charging for that. So that kind of takes fun out of it for people who just want to listen to a show here and there. Although we would be grateful for your sponsorship at whatever level. That's kind of how we fund the show. And we have a new sponsor this year. Bill. We had this last time.
I got a computer problem here. I was trying to, I wasn't paying attention.
Were you doing your one thing?
Yeah.
Bill's doing his one thing.
Yeah, our new sponsor is Team Power, John Deere Kubota dealer here in Redding, California.
With very clean carpets.
That's right. We did some carpet cleaning yesterday.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
We did. We took all the outside and put it back outside.
That's right. Yeah. Had her on the carpet yesterday.
You know what? And if you want to see some tough carpet, you should go up there and take a look at that, because I don't know what that stuff's made of, but it's rugged.
Yes, it is.
It didn't even wrinkle with, 5 hours of continuous cleaning?
5 hours of carpet cleaner, and we probably took out 5 pounds of dirt out of it.
In three small offices. It's kind of fun.
So the cleanest carpets in town, stop by Team Power.
And then the tractors are secondary, but you can drive those around too. Oh, my gosh. So our guest, Lyle Rapack, is either very quiet or he's on mute.
He's saying, what a couple of chuckleheads is what
he's like,
saying.
I can't stay the whole 2 hours, right, Lyle? Is that what you're going to say?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Hi, guys. Happy New Year. I'm sorry. I was having a cup of coffee. 2 hours. I have to stay the whole 2 hours?
Oh, no.
I'm driving to Arizona. I have someone outside your door. I planned ahead. Enough of this getting snaked. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we're not the newsmakers. So, we'd like to have the newsmakers on. When we're not, updating on carpet cleaning. It's all part of the ad. We're going to record a promotion for the new sponsor later today. We'll probably leave the carpeting out.
If your radio show bombs, you've got a new backup, don't you?
That's right.
Clean.
No, not really, because, it is brutal on the neck. I got to tell you.
Because not into that physical labor.
Because it's like the thing that has the little, and then the slurpy end. And
I feel like I've been on a rototiller.
Oh, my gosh.
Day.
I ran that thing for hours. It's like, it looks a little cleaner. I got to go over that part one more time. I think I was hallucinating. It's unbelievable. It looks browner than it did before, like in a good way, because it was a brown rug loaded with dirt. Totally weird. Well, you guys probably don't do that in Arizona because you don't have any seasons there.
So we have lots of dirt. lots of sand, so it's all brown anyway.
So you just let it go. It's all year long. Yeah. See, at the wintertime, we get all clean freaky. So let's see. We should tell people you've been on here a bunch of times. I will list the previous shows now that I'm kind of back in the swing of things here. I'll put them on the website so people can listen. But I think Dr. Lyle Rapacki's claim to fame is he has roughly the same laugh as Tucker Carlson. And that's what makes Tucker Carlson's show so great. I was like, you know what? We've got a guy like that. We've got our own Tucker Carlson. But in real life, he's a private sector intelligence behavioral analysis, and I'm sure he has lots of fun with us in his spare time, and a threat assessment specialist. We don't qualify there. But since June of 2010, Dr. Rapacki has provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. And since they are on the border, there's plenty of that. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and governmental communities. And authored a bunch of white papers, bulletins, briefings, and all sorts of good stuff like that. There's a fairly long list there that I won't read. But he comes to us. Did we know you before we knew Claire Lopez, or did you introduce us to her? And Bruce Moran, you're tangled up with all those guys.
Yeah. I was going through my own archives, and I found me being on your show 5 years ago.
Wow.
And I will send that to you. I don't even know how we got hooked up, but then I introduced Claire to you and several others, and we've had a great time on this program, your show. You and Bob and Bill have been just outstanding hosts. And I think I've brought on a couple of legislators. I've brought on Claire. I've brought on a couple of other folks. And it's made it very entertaining so people don't have to listen to me for 2 hours.
Well, God knows it's entertaining because they don't have to listen to us, so we're well suited.
As it turned out, we didn't have to listen to Claire for 2 hours.
Yeah, Claire was another one.
Yeah, she had to bail.
I mean, seriously, I talked to her on the phone.
Oh,
and,
did she really?
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, okay, Claire, this is the thing. When you're on with other people, you never get to say anything. And it seems for whatever reason they can never hear each other, so they talk over her the whole time. I'm like, could we pick a time and you could just be on the whole show? She's like, okay, but I can't do it this month. So we scheduled it way the heck out there. Had it all. Oh, we were so excited. It's another big promo. We get like, I don't know, an hour in, and she's like, well, okay, I got to go. Like, well, wait a minute.
Hold on.
What about all that calendar planning and that stuff?
Well, she's in demand. As
she
you all
is.
Know, and your listeners, I mean, she's in Washington, D.C., and she briefs members of Congress on national security matters. And then out across the country, she also does the same. And I met Claire, oh, man, this is going to come back to haunt me, but I don't know, I'm going to say 6 years ago. I could be off, but about 6 years ago. And we've worked together since that time, and you're right. We've been on a couple of different programs where she has to leave all of a sudden because she gets a page or not a page. Oh, my gosh, I just dated myself.
And I knew what you were talking about and didn't think anything of it. So
the red phone rang.
This would be the show for old people.
Yeah, and she walked over and picked up the phone. Yeah, yeah.
She couldn't go because the kitchen cord wasn't long enough.
All you heard was right away, sir, and then I got to go.
Yeah, she was at Mount Rushmore one time, and we've talked to Claire in all sorts of places.
That's right. We were on a show, and she was. I got her to come on the show, and right before it went live, where she and I were talking, and she goes, "Okay, now Lyle, everything is good, but I'm in a car going up to Mount Rushmore." And I said, "What?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm going up to see it. I've never seen it." I go, "Well, wait a minute. We've got a radio show." She goes, "I know, but it'll be okay." And then I think we did well, didn't we, for 40 minutes or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, for a while. It's like,
and look. Then I think one of you asked her a question, and there was dead air.
It's like, well.
Which is,
well, Claire's not with us.
Yeah, I guess Claire's gone. Yeah, so moral of the story, don't ever bring Claire on by herself.
No, have somebody with you.
Have backup.
Have a friend in tow.
Oh, I'm going to send her copy of this once she sends it. She'll get a kick out.
Oh, nice.
She'll be all embarrassed. Oh, no, she's a good girl. She means well, and she gets embarrassed if something like this happens.
Oh, well, we're kind of like we're large family people, you know. We don't tease you in this. We like you. Actually, the rest of them aren't worth teasing because they're just idiots. And
You guys are swell. You guys are great.
Too funny.
Aaron's been known to make people cry, so you know that's when she knows she's gone too far. It's like, oops.
Yeah,
sorry.
There is that, and it's like, oh, I didn't realize we weren't having fun anymore. Hey, that used to happen when we were kids too. And that old expression, "You're not happy till someone's crying." Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Oh my gosh. Well, so I guess for all those people who wanted a really serious show today, you're not going to get it. today's not the day. But
turn over to something.
Oh, for heaven's sakes! You know, I mean, last year was I don't know. It was kind of like a it was like a weird rodeo. So hopefully this year will be slightly more normal. We'll all accomplish more and have less hysteria, but I don't know about that. So at the moment, we need to do our little 2-minute celebration of capitalism, and then we will come back with Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and we'll probably goof off a little more, but we'll talk about some real things. We promise there will be real things. Oh my goodness. So you're listening to We the People Radio. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. About destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be all right?
It's gonna be all right, really. Trust me.
You know, in our outgoing song, the Carly Simon song, Them, that we play that all the time, always on that break. Usually it's about whatever our topic is, you know, because we're talking about them. But, you know, this last time kind of seemed more like it was about us. Oh, Lyle's not on. What shall we do about them? And I was like, yeah, that'd be us this time.
We just qualified.
We have become them.
Don't become what you despise.
Exactly. Don't become what you mock.
It's so easy.
That's what I truly fear. Where do you want to go with this?
We don't know what we're going with.
It's not my show.
Wait a minute. That's
not the way this thing started today.
That's right. Who the heck's in charge?
You guys are too much. I know Aaron and I have discussed this this week because of some distributions I made. There has been, since the inauguration, actually before the inauguration of Mr. Trump, a civil war taking place, and I think many people will acknowledge over the internet they've seen words like that in many different forms of platforms and alternative medias. But there really has been a war taking place to remove Mr. Trump and or neuter his entire administration until the 2018 elections, at which time the hope was to literally neuter that administration by bringing in more radical individuals, both Congress and the Senate. The hope has been to cast Trump as not only an outsider, but as someone who's dangerous to America and unfit to be in office. And so I think over the past year, we've seen, Americans have seen tremendous attempts to accomplish this and quote unquote evidence to support it. The whole entire Russiagate has been, an attempt to show collusion between, by and between, Mr. Trump and or members of his administration and Russia. We now know that it's all been made up. The entire episode is a figment of someone's imagination. And we even know a day after the loss of the presidential election by Clinton that John Podesta and others really came up with this narrative. We also know beyond a doubt that a dossier and other supporting documents, supporting is in quotes, supporting documents were also made up. So what we've had is a year of hearings, accusations, finger pointing, investigations. We still have an investigation going on by Mr. Mueller against Trump and or his administration. And it's all a fraud. It's all, false. But it's not ending, although it's slowly dying down. They're moving into other areas now because the war to remove Trump has not let up. It's just taking on different, dimensions. Trump is considered a scary person by the globalists and by the elites in both parties and someone to be removed. And whatever it takes to remove him, and that's what they've set out to do over the past year. We have seen by their own admissions as they try to show that Mr. Trump and company were in collusion with the Russians, that indeed
it was kind of a boomerang deal on that one.
That really backfired.
That's really a great way of putting it, you guys, because as they tried to paint President Trump and his administration of doing all of this, it has boomeranged, and now week by week it's being revealed that they have all lied, they have all covered up, they have all been in collusion, and unfortunately, terribly unfortunately, all of that is, it's compounded to have the once premier law enforcement agency in the nation, the FBI, to be in collusion. Now, let me just say, we're not talking about rank-and-file FBI agents, those out in the streets here, still trying to maintain the rule of law. What we are talking about is from mid-level to higher-level management, and then at the very highest levels, we're the director and the deputy director and then the assistant directors. They have all been compromised and have been a part of a tremendous collusion to remove Trump and to plant evidence, information, to substantiate the steps they've taken. Furthermore, there has been now ample evidence, and it just seems to be compounding, that they have been involved in helping Hillary Clinton and others to cover up their nefariousness. And this is just shocking and stunning, and it's very unnerving for most Americans, because when you're up against such a powerful agency as the FBI, the federal government, where can you appeal? Where do you really hope to go? But this has been part and parcel of what's been happening to America, in my opinion, over the last 10 years or so, or actually longer, and that is that the government of the United States, those in elected offices at the federal level, for the most part, have completely removed themselves for the reasons that they were to be there in the first place, and they've aligned themselves with allegiance to elitists and globalists to help neuter the United States and bring us into a world community.
So with that being said, are they ever going to do anything about it? Is there something in the works right now? I mean, we hear lots of theories and lots of talk about indictments and investigations and all this stuff, but is anything really happening, do you think?
I think there's still, I love what y'all said about the boomerang effect, and I think I'm going to use that, not attribute it to you.
sure, go steal ahead. It. Steal it. That's what you're saying, huh?
Checks in the mail, though. I'll send you a royalty check. But I love that boomerang effect, because what we have all been observing for a year, correct me please if you all know something or see something different than what I'm about to say, but for a year I think most of us have been watching, maybe even holding our breaths, that there isn't something, a smoking gun type situation. And month after month, accusations have flown, showing the most egregious forms of collusion, by Trump and Russians and maybe even others. And it has now come out that there is none. There's virtually none, literally none. Now, that hasn't stopped the one investigation, and there is a call for a special prosecutor, and there is a call for indictments, and there is a call by members of the congressional oversight committees to thoroughly investigate this in a new, clean fashion, and to hold accountable whomever. So in that sense, will there be indictments? I think we're still in a phase, from what I can determine from sources that I have, of investigating and getting this boomerang effect turned around and pointed in the right direction. There, at the same time, there has been a ongoing, through the Department of Justice, investigation and now acting on arrests and exposing a massive pedophile ring in the United States and actually internationally. And that has captured a terribly embarrassing a number of former elected officials or high-profiled individuals, including congressmen. More to come. It is being reported that 25 to 30 more, and in some cases I've read up to 35 to 50 more congressmen will be forced to resign due to some form of sexual impropriety.
Wonderful.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Well, what's the deal with, yeah, with you know, it used to be if there was evidence or even an accusation of a crime, the FBI would, you know, if it was a federal offense, the FBI would get involved and they would investigate and then charges would be brought. Now it seems like if there's some suspicion that something's going on, everybody screams, we need a special counsel. Why doesn't the FBI, why do we always have to have a special counsel now to investigate this stuff? What's the FBI for?
I think some of the concern is that the FBI at the highest levels has been compromised. They have been part of a cover-up, and that's not my opinion. I mean, the evidence is starting to mount. It's already dribbling out where, former Director Comey, for instance, along with other senior members of the FBI and even members of the Department of Justice, helped respond to the email gate, if you will.
Yeah.
Email gate of Hillary Clinton. And when it first came out, it looked like Hillary was absolutely innocent and maybe made a mistake or two, but who hasn't? We've all made mistakes. But that was part of the cover-up, and it was not a mistake. What we've now learned, and the evidence is ample, is that she and her, and people like Huma Ahmadine and others close to Hillary Clinton were engaged in the sharing of most sensitive information and documents, the sharing of a pay for play where monies exchange hands and in exchange for information and or favoritism of one form or another. It's now reached the level that Obama has known about this all along, and so did other senior members besides Hillary Clinton and her senior staff. And then to add to the complexity and the sadness to all of this is that members of the FBI senior management, which would be the director, the deputy directors, and all that, they also were involved, and same with the Department of Justice. So there's really, when you talk about cleaning the swamp, it's really far and wide that has to be cleaned, and there are positions of power and influence that doesn't make it easy to just go in and say, okay, you're out.
I think that's where a lot of folks are kind of armchairing this thing, looking at it
yeah. saying, you know what, we have yeah. a new administration now. They have the power to go in and reassign these higher positions. They're not doing that, and yes. as a consequence, it's continuing. And I think that's what's frustrating about it is we can't replace these people and then go back and investigate it and start handing down indictments.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And the Attorney General of the United States better decide, is he going to recuse himself from everything
right.
other than the marijuana issue? or is he going to go ahead and do his job? And if he can't or won't, then he needs to be replaced.
Right. And that's, I noticed that
members
call.
Of Congress have now started to call for that.
Yeah, Meadows and Jordan fired off an op-ed, and it was right before he kind of jumped in on all this stuff. And then they were like, well, okay, that's actually what we wanted him to do. But
yes,
you have to wonder, was
Congressman
it?
Jordan, yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Aaron. Congressman Jordan has led the charge to say either – do your job or get out of the job. It's going to require the Attorney General of the United States to remove people and or to even make recommendations to the president, who has the ultimate authority under the Constitution to remove people. I mean, when he removed James Comey, you remember the big upcry
oh, yeah.
that it was political and stupid. Mm-hmm. He did not have the authority. He clearly had the authority
absolutely.
Under the Constitution. And as it turned out, he not only had the authority clearly, but he had far more than probable cause to remove Mr. Comey, who basically had become a dirty cop.
And, right. and looking at what we found out after that, it all makes sense. I guess if we give anything enough time, it'll work out. But, you know, when we come back, though, we should talk about the fact that, you know, CNN, MSNBC, those guys, I mean, they push this narrative out all the time. It's like an alternate universe when you flip channels.
Yeah, let's talk about that when we come back, because that is out of control.
Yeah, because yeah. they're telling everybody that the Russia thing is, it's smoking
soft,
hot.
Though. He's unfit now.
Yeah, now he's crazy.
Yeah, Russia's old news.
Next we'll be crazy,
At this point, what
difference
does it make?
There. Yeah. We'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rebecki. Okay, drink some water, Lyle. I feel you setting up your early exit strategy. We're going to take that away.
Yeah, not happening.
Put me in jail if I fail to give you all the love that's yours. Put me in jail if I fail in loving you. I stood before the jury. It was an ugly scene. 'Cause they could see right through me how lonely I had been. So put me in jail if I fail.
Somebody failed.
Pretty catchy.
Love that's yours.
Inappropriate. Nonetheless. Who's that? Who's that, Bob?
It's Sonny Ozuna and the Sunlighters, some good old East LA R&B oldies.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. Everything is relevant.
Bob did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Bob put that up.
Yeah, that's Bob. That's what Bob does. Bob's over there magically thinking of songs that go along with what we're talking about. Yeah, Bill and I usually have inappropriate selections chosen.
Yeah, Bob just refuses to play them.
We won't tell you what we were discussing.
You can't do that.
We won't tell you what we were discussing on the break.
I would have had to keep hitting the button.
Yeah, the button over and over and over and over and over again. So, see, that's why Bob has all the controls over there. Pretty soon, Bob's going to have his own room. We're going to have to actually be in a different room.
Yeah, they won't let us touch
I'm not any. Sure. That's probably just to protect the engineers from the people that are on, I guess. I think it's supposed to give us more room. What are we going to do in there all by ourselves?
Throw things at each other, probably.
Yeah, all right. Get a little workout.
There you go.
So, what's the deal with CNN and these guys? I mean, how can they keep telling people that
He's unfit.
You know.
He's obsessed with his own sexuality.
They have all these psychiatrists on. I like all the psychiatrists.
I like
the one
where he's obsessed with his sexuality, and that's why he refers to his big button.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you guys, they're psychotic. The news guys are crazy. What's up with that, Lyle?
Well, they're really following the Cloward Piven strategy, and if you go back and study that, they are not deviating from it. It's pretty predictable, and that is if you keep after something, many people will just go ahead and begin to accept it. And even if only 50% believe what CNN or whatever is saying, that's 50%. Out of that 50%, maybe if only 50% vote clearly against whomever they're talking about, that's still a number of people that might swing elections. And that's, I'm really cutting it down like seventh grade level, but that's really part of the Cloward Piven strategy. And that is, you
that's
just
for you, Bill,
going.
The seventh grade level.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. For Bill. Okay, sorry. I just wanted to make sure he didn't miss it so we didn't have to make it down fourth grade level.
Yeah. No, but that's true, though.
It's true, though.
When you look at the percentage of people that actually vote, you know, which is, you know, a lot of times down to 20s and 30%, you know, that you're right. That could swing an election.
Well, one of the – and I thought – and if not, Aaron, please let me know off air and I'll send it to you. But I thought I sent you months ago a 49-page playbook.
Oh, yeah. We posted that.
Okay. All right. Well, if you go back and look at that, you'll see that they're still following that playbook pretty closely, pretty clearly. I've talked with candidates in several states, who are now getting ready to run for office, and they're coming up against what's a lot in that playbook, and it's new to them. And so I've sent them that playbook, and it's helping them make more sense out of what they're up against. And primarily one of the things that the what I call the Marxist Democrat Party now, because they're no longer the Democrat Party of your parents, my parents, and grandparents, et cetera, et cetera. They've really become a Marxist organization, and they're proud of it. They don't really care if you say that about them. What they promote a Marxist agenda and a social Marxist agenda, and what they've done with Soros's help and others who've come forward. They are running people for every office, be it city council, parks and rec, county supervisors or commissioners, state legislators. Now, one could say that's great because we're getting involvement of citizens at all levels, and I can appreciate that. But what they're doing is handpicking individuals who subscribe to the social Marxist agenda, and they're literally putting them into all of these races. And the idea is, some of them are going to survive the race and win. What they're also going to do by putting them in all of these races, they're challenging incumbents. And because they have nothing to lose, they're able to go after and make statements and accusations that otherwise would be considered outlandish. But with the help of national media, they can back it up and say, well, see, CNN is saying this. There must be truth to it.
Now, that makes sense.
What it does is it puts people on the defensive. It puts candidates, it puts incumbents on the defensive. Not that they shouldn't be. I think they should be in another way, but not the way they're going about it. And maybe if we have some time, I can share something about that. Because I think citizens need to step up like Mr. Trump did, throw out being kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, and all that, and begin to confront their candidates. I don't care if it's a city council candidate or whomever. Now, that does not mean being rude to them, but I really think the people in elected office at this time, today, they need to have some questions asked of them. And I don't care if they're the most conservative member of Congress or the most conservative, pick somebody, city councilman, or pick, it doesn't matter to me. I think they need to be asked some very serious questions, and if they cannot answer them, then they either need to be removed or they better get lectured and learn it very quickly. And if you guys have some time later on, I'll go over those five questions that I'm now asking people to propose, and I will send it to you later, so if you find it valuable, you might consider posting it.
Okay. And I did, you know, it's funny, the last show we did with you was August 20th of last year, And it was about that 49-page playbook. So
was it? Okay, good.
Yep,
okay.
I've linked the show to today's page, and I pulled the playbook over. So if people just go to today's program.
That's why you're so good. That's why
I do that part. See, Bob's over there looking at music. I'm fixing the website. Hey, Bill. I'm sorry, Bill. What are you doing over there?
I'm passing you the notes to tell you to pass this stuff onto the website. That's what I'm doing. I'm like the engineer over here.
But you don't have a pen.
But Bill, it's all up here.
I think going back to Bill's question, I think what's happening is they're following that Cloward Piven strategy to the T, and it works. If we kept going after, for instance, Aaron, Bill, if you and I just kept going after Aaron, for instance, it would be annoying, but somewhere along the line, she would either have to answer us or we would trip her up enough where we could then begin to drive a wedge between her and any supporters. Now, we wouldn't stop there because, see, we don't care about being kind, obedient, cheerful, and all that. What would happen is we would continue to do what we could to get her on the defensive and annihilate her, to render her ineffective.
And then it makes the person look like they've done something.
Thanks. Yeah, exactly right, Aaron. You're exactly
right. Because you can't disprove a negative. I mean, you can't – somebody accuses you of something you haven't done.
You still beat your husband.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, when did you stop beating your wife?
No, Bill, once again, that's great. Okay, Bill, let me do it to you. How many times have you beat your wife in the last month? Well, I've not beat my wife.
Bill starts laughing, see? Now he looks guilty.
Yeah, no matter how you answer it, it's gonna raise questions or eyebrows from which then I'm going to continue on with these accusations. And slowly, steadily, it won't be today, may not be by next week, but 6 months from now, if I continue along that path, people are going to say, you know something? Where there's smoke, there must be fire.
Yeah, there's got to be something to it.
That's always what they say.
Now, fortunately for Mr. Trump, he comes from a different universe than these people are used to. Growing up in New York City, being a friend of the common man, and I say that with most respect, with the working man, he grew up. If you study his life, his dad did not raise him to be a prima donna. He raised him with a strong work ethic, and he relates very, very well naturally to the working guy. And so when you come after him, he doesn't fold.
No.
They don't know how to handle that.
No, he's queens all the way too. There's always a good occasion for a fight. It really doesn't matter if it's fun, if it's serious, if it's bad or good.
Yeah,
they fight about everything.
And he always responds. And sometimes that works against him. But don't you think that folks are getting a little bit tired of the constant attack, you know, without any necessary facts to back it up, and they say, oh, the midterms they're going to be replacing all these guys. I think
the blue wave
again.
Come on, get your terminology right.
I think it's going to boomerang.
They think they're having a blue wave.
I don't know. I think it's going to work in reverse.
There's some sort of weird printing thing that's telling us something on a secret piece of paper squirting out of this box.
Oh, that's the president.
So,
I asked him to teletype it.
So we better take
it. To your point, we saw it in the election. America, the average citizen, average is in quotes again, it's not a negative, but, you know, the uncharted citizen, the one that's not polled all the time, the silent majority, however you want to describe this, I think you saw them rise up and say, you know, we believe that we're going to lose our nation. And we look at what's taken place over the last 8 years where you can't even say Merry Christmas. I'm on a radio show tomorrow night out of New York, and the host of the show, in talking with me yesterday, said, you know, I read a column of yours, because I, as you all know, I get to write for several publications, and he said, I read your column, and you were very, very candid about not only Merry Christmas, but about God being the foundation of our nation. And he goes, do you realize it's been 8 years people have been afraid to say even Merry Christmas? And I said, well, I believe you're right. I believe it's been taken from our vocabulary in many areas, but the average citizen, the silent majority, I think, continue to do that, maybe a little bit more cautiously, but they continue to do it.
Or not. I mean, I think most people got kind of chesty about it, you know?
It's well, like, in the last election cycle, they stood up and they said, we've had enough. And it has shocked, and it still has a year later, it has just shocked the establishment, both in the Republican and Democrat parties, because the American people, as Bill is saying, I think are fed up, and I think there's a boomerang. And with all of these investigations taking place that have not been able to turn over one iota of evidence of any collusion or anything nefarious, not anything, I think the American people have watched this silently. They have stood back and allowed the process to take place. And I really think they're annoyed far more than media, far more than people in public places realize. And that's why I'm challenging them to go out and ask five questions of all of their elected officials. And it doesn't, again, I know I'm being redundant and I apologize to y'all, but I don't care if it's for city council or Parks and Rec or whatever. I don't care.
Cool.
You ask these questions.
Let's take a really quick break, and when we come back, I want to know the five questions. It's killing me. We do have you hostage for another hour, so just in case we run out of time, write them down. Write them down, because we'll do them
after. I'm heading for Mount Rushmore.
I'll show you Mount Rushmore.
In a simple way, and if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
That's for people who didn't grow up in Queens. That's so that they can learn to be like people from Queens. Okay, so we're not going to probably have enough time to do all five questions. You to tell us about them, but can you tell us what they are, and then we can talk about them later?
Yeah. I started this with candidates that I'm advising on intelligence matters, and I've thrown this into them privately and said, you all need to also consider at least these five questions. Number one, what is the proper role of government? Number two, as an elected public official, you will be required to take an oath to uphold and preserve the Constitution of the United States. When was the last time you took a serious look at the Constitution? And can you even identify two areas where the Constitution is being violated today? Number three, what are your views about public debt? What is your opinion of using debt and how it should be paid off? Number four, what is your view on unalienable rights stated by Jefferson in the Declaration? And then number five, share your thoughts on our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So I'm sharing with these candidates in multiple states those questions and some hints as to where they need to go to decide if they agree. For instance, question number four, what is your view on unalienable rights stated by Jefferson in the Declaration? And what what Mr. Jefferson stated very clearly in that declaration is that our rights are given by a creator, not by government, not by man. And they cannot be taken by man or government without coming under the judgment of God. And this will tell you a lot if you ask this question about a candidate's philosophy. So I have shared with candidates starting last year and now this year these five questions, and I have told them you might want to seriously consider preparing to answer these questions most honestly and transparently, because I'm going to do everything I can in my limited capacity to get this information out to the segment of the population that's more likely to vote and show up to candidate hearings. And right. I'm encouraging citizens to ask these questions, and it doesn't matter if it's the mayor or city councilman or somebody you went to school with and is now running for school board.
Well, let's pick those questions.
How about this? Next hour, why don't we go through those a little bit more, and you can tell us how you would advise somebody or coach them, you know, like what are we looking for? What are people looking for in the right answer? In case they don't already know. We'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Verpacki, who will be drinking water and drinking honey and massaging his throat so we can last another hour. And you can find us here at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
You're on KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of the We the People Radio Free for All. That's kind of how we've done it today. It's been a little free for all-ish.
I like it that way.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, the weird part is, though, it has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride, and I was feeling a little nauseated. So apparently, if you have a roller coaster in your mind, you can still feel nauseated. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is.
You cannot throw up in here.
Yes, I was going to say. Yeah. So if
it's
you
right here on the wall,
that is a violation.
There's a note on the wall. No throwing up. So if you hear sounds of a struggle, that's me crawling over Bill racing. Oh, hopefully not. Anyway.
So who are you? Oh,
I thought you were doing your commercial.
Oh well, I thought you were going to do something else. Okay, well.
We're obviously
a word from our sponsor.
Hey, this hour.
Can you say it like they do in the cartoons?
Huh?
Now, a word
done?
From our sponsor.
Is it my turn?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, this hour is sponsored by Team Power, John Deere Kubota, and they're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard. And anything tractors, give us a call down there, and we'll take care of it.
Service, sales.
Yep, we got it all down
there. And the cleanest carpets in town.
Yeah, you got it, and lots and lots of tractors to choose from. Phone number again, 226-9226, Team Power.
Ta-da!
There you go.
Well, there you have it.
Thank you, Tractor
Bill. Bill's like, I have to do a serious commercial. That's always so much pressure.
Well, they are paid sponsors, you know, so I think
they deserve a serious commercial.
A certain amount of professionalism.
We'll let Bob do it. We'll let Bob do a real commercial, and then we won't have to mess with it, and it won't be so hard.
Well, maybe so.
So, in case you weren't paying attention the first hour, let's see. I'm going to go back here to my list. All right. So we've got archives stretching back to 2010. You can find them all at WeThePeopleRadio.us. And if you would like to sponsor the show at any level, you can do that right there on the website or give us a call. That's also on the site. Emails, that kind of thing. If you have ideas for shows or guests or things like that, we always like those ideas. Those are fun. And next week, I wanted to tell you, we have a guy on who wrote a book called God and Donald Trump. So kind of fit in with what we were talking about the first hour. He's a really interesting guy from, he's the CEO of Charisma Media and founder of Charisma Magazine.
So he's not unfit?
So he apparently is not unfit.
Huh.
So that should be an interesting take. I think you guys
will
like
it. Yeah, they said it on TV. I heard it.
And we also have Raheel Raza, who is the Muslim activist who is in favor of Jerusalem being recognized as the capital and the embassy being moved, and she thinks it's totally appropriate and the Muslims are off track again. She's going to let us know how off track they are. So that's next week. And our guest today is Dr. Lyle Verpacki, and we've got a bunch of shows posted from previous times. Let's see, four of them, and I think you'll like them. So if you're enjoying today, you will enjoy the previous shows because we seem to always have the same chemical composition with Dr. Pataki. It all degenerates into laughing and goofing off. But there's always information laced in there somewhere. So, okay, we've already had people asking for the questions that we discussed earlier that you're suggesting they speak to candidates during this next election cycle. But you said you have a surprise for them. That was a really deep breath there.
He
like he was going underwater.
Here we go.
Honey, it's just face floating. We're not scuba diving. You'll be okay.
First of all, I had to put down my glass of Maker's Mark.
Oh, so you got to take shorter breaths during that. Okay.
I have a little bit of help here to get through the next hour. This is up to 2 hours. Are you sure I can't go to Mount Rushmore like Claire?
Yeah, yeah, don't go Foster Brooks on us.
Secondly, I was trying to remember what surprise I had.
You just had it. It was right before we started.
Yeah, okay, we'll think about it. But these five questions I developed a year ago and began when I was going out and speaking to the old Tea Parties and other groups around the West anyway. I would raise these questions, put them on my PowerPoints, raise the questions, and then suggest and strongly recommend that people begin to ask them. Well, this year, coming up now, not only have I advised candidates that you better be prepared to ask or answer these questions, but also going out and telling the populations, ask them. And what I would recommend you do is you get five people to attend your tea party or whatever group you're in. I don't care if it's Rotary. And each one of the five picks a question. And so when they're called on, you're going to get all five of these questions asked to these candidates. And I would strongly recommend that. And it's no longer a question of just beating up on a candidate. I don't think we should do that. But doggone it, I really think we need to go back to where our founders were, and that is they knew what they stood for, and they were very transparent in sharing it. And we've lost that ability. For whatever reason, that would be another show. But I think we need to really realize that we're in a battle for the life of our nation, and that's not a theatrical statement. The people who want the United States to fail, and they're in both parties, political parties, are doing everything they can to neuter Mr. Trump, and they're doing everything they can to collapse the United States. We're very, very fortunate, and I wrote a column on this, that I believe that Mr. Trump is much like Cyrus in the Old Testament, that God chose him to come forward at this time to help redeem this nation and give us a window of opportunity. And I'll be glad to send you that column. I think I have, but I'll be glad to send it to you so you can post it if you choose.
That'd be helpful.
But I believe, and I posted it 3 days before the election, that I said that I believe Mr. Trump will win, and here's why. And you'll see the date of the article and blah, blah, blah. So I'm not going afterwards and making this up. It was my opinion that we were in such serious trouble that if Clinton got in, it would be within a year before people would start to be imprisoned, shows like yours would be off the air, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I believe we are that close to losing our nation. So what I've said to people now is that the elections are coming up in 2018. I think you need to step away from the sidelines and get on the field and start challenging these candidates. And again, I don't care if you went to school with them. Don't be impolite and rude, but doggone it, I think they owe us some answers. And here's question number one. What is the proper role of government? So I want to know from your mayor, city councilman, board of supervisor or commissioner, your state legislator, congressman, I don't care, pick somebody, the president, you know, Mr. Governor, what is the proper role of government? Because see, our founders were very clear that government was to reflect the will of the people. It is the people who give government its authority. It's not government who gives the people the ability to exist. It's just the opposite. And if you look at what's happening today, we have elected officials at all levels. I don't care if it's Parks and Rec, if they vote for the board of Parks and Rec or the library board, that they get into these offices and for some reason they believe that they know better than the very people who put them there if they're in elected position.
Oh, you see that all the time, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what's best.
Well, then enough of that.
Yeah.
Enough of that. And I'm challenging the citizens, the silent majority, as Vice President Agnew way back in the day said, get up here on the field and challenge these people. What is, you know, Mr. Candidate, the proper role of government? I want you to explain to me and to this group of Rotary or Tea Party or whatever, your belief on what is the proper role of government. Question two, as an elected public official, if you are elected, you will be required to take an oath to uphold and preserve the Constitution of the United States. When was the last time you took a serious look at the Constitution? Have you read it? And if you have read it, when was the last time you really looked at it seriously? And also, can you identify at least one or two areas in that Constitution that is now being violated today? What do you think it is, Mr. Candidate? Which area of the Constitution is being violated in your opinion? And what will you do to protect that area here on out if you're elected? And you see, what I'm asking people to do is to make specific requests and to hold these candidates so they don't just gerrymander you and go out and start, or filibustering you and start talking, that you say, you know, Mr. Candidate, I appreciate your long-windedness, but you did not answer the question. Number three, what are your views about public debt? What is your opinion, Mr. Candidate, Ms. Candidate, of using debt and how it should be paid off? You see, our forefathers warned about debt. They suggested and stated in their writings and public speeches that it should be paid by the generation that created it. It should not be carried forward. That no nation can survive such indebtedness as we now have. And I'm going to tell you, with all that Mr. Trump has done this past year to lower unemployment, et cetera, we're in some very serious trouble that is coming, and that would be another show. We're looking at some very, very serious challenges right on the very near future here because our indebtedness is $20 trillion, and we cannot sustain it. So I would ask these candidates, what do you plan on doing to rein in government, to stop the indebtedness here at the city level or county or whatever? And what steps are you prepared to announce today and we can hold you accountable for to demonstrate that you're living up to what you're saying to us? Question four, what is your view on unalienable rights stated by Jefferson in the Declaration? Thomas Jefferson, along with our founders, wrote a declaration that if you really want to see a sermon, that's what that is. I said a sermon. It's a document that is most revered, but it's a sermon. I'm using the right words. It's a sermon because it outlines how this nation was conceived by God with certain unalienable rights given to us by God. And that no government or no position in government, be it a president or anyone else, can remove those rights without coming under judgment by God himself. We don't talk like this anymore. Mm-mm. Because one of the things that has happened is we've removed God from every aspect of our public life.
Right.
And so what you're asking here is, what, Mr. Candidate, Ms. Candidate, are your views on unalienable rights given to us by Jefferson and our forefathers in the Declaration? And when you begin to listen to this candidate respond to that particular question, you will hear a lot about that candidate's philosophy of life, his or her agenda, and their belief systems and values. And I would suggest people hold these candidates accountable. And then the fifth question is, I want you to share for this audience your thoughts on this question. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other kind. Solutions and your decisions as a congressman, legislator, mayor, should be based on morality and virtue, not hidden agendas. So I would like to know, Mr. Candidate, Ms. Candidate, what are your thoughts on our Constitution as a moral instrument? And that it is wholly inadequate for any government in the United States, be it a county, state, local, to exist without adopting and understanding and defending the moral authority given by our United States Constitution. Once again, what's going to happen here is you're going to see candidates chuck and jive and talk all around that and not want to go ahead and discuss it very clearly. And that will tell you a lot about their morality, their virtues, their belief systems. And I'm challenging people with these five questions, which I will send to you later today so you can post them if you find them of value. I'm asking people to do just that. You need to start going to these candidates and even office holders if they're not up for election and ask these questions. And I'm suggesting that you bring five people, you put them out through the audience, and one by one they raise their hands and they ask these questions. You've got to begin to get people in political office that will counter the social Marxism that is really stepping up tremendously at the local and state level.
That's a great point, because every single one of those is contrary to Marxism.
Well, it also gives the candidate a reason to, I mean, if this is someone who believes in these things, it also gives them a reason to bring those topics up.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Which is good, because, you know, like the town halls last year, the congressional town halls anyway, it was all, I mean, all the questions were really basically about socialism. You know, why do you hate the poor? Why do you hate old people? You know, we weren't discussing a lot of.
My guess to that, Aaron, is that those were social Marxists and Clara Thiven type people in the audience, putting the candidates on the defensive, and no candidate should be on the defensive. You should be able to run for an office. Again, I don't mean to be demeaning in any way, but from Parks and Recs to city council to school board to governor to whatever, president of the United States, you should be able to stand clearly and transparently and answer those five questions and allow we the people to decide, are you someone that we want to represent us or not? And we've gotten away from that.
We actually had people in the first congressional district here who complained bitterly in the media, letters to the congressional offices, phone calls, all that those town halls started with a prayer. And they sat through the Pledge of Allegiance in many locations and booed.
Well,
so kind of,
do you have to go to a break right now? Because I want to read something.
Oh yeah, we do. Sorry, let me
wait. Flies. It's only a couple of paragraphs, but if it's okay with you, we can pick it up on the other end.
We'll do it. Gosh, I'm glad. Well, somebody's paying attention to what time it is.
Really?
My bad.
I'm sitting here with my mouth open, going, "Holy cow, you're right."
I know we were all listening. Alrighty, we'll take a really quick break. We'll be back with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Said bang bang in that show. Can we, or in that song? Can we still say that? Bang bang still allowed? Or if we had to censor that?
As long as your hand's not in the shape of a gun.
Oh, or my Pop Tart?
Yeah.
I haven't nibbled my cookie in the shape of a gun? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Lyle, you've got, two paragraphs or something, you said?
Yeah. This is from a book that's just recently published by Jonathan Cahn, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. And, If you are fine, let me just read a couple of paragraphs, and I think it flows well into question number five that we should be asking candidates, and then also what we were just discussing about the moral foundation of our nation that has been eroded. Jonathan Cahn said, Israel had been founded for the will and purposes of God, but in time the nation began falling away from the God of its foundation and the foundation of which it had been established. It turned from God to idols. They began driving God out of their public squares, out of their government, out of the instruction of their children, out of their culture, and out of their lives. They expunged his word from their public discourse and his law from their collective consciousness. And by driving God out, they created a vacuum. Into that vacuum, they brought still all sorts of gods. Their lives were now permeated with idols and increasingly carnal, materialistic, and they were fragmented. And their civilization was now at war against the very foundation for which it stood. We here in America are seeing the same thing occur. It started many years ago. One could argue, really, in a good sense, in the late 60s, when we began to kick God out, no longer supported not just our Constitution, but we introduced free love, free everything. It sounded good and sexy, no pun intended. It sounded fun. It sounded sexy, fun, romantic, poetic, whatever. But from the 60s forward, we have begun to change our culture. We began in our institutions of learning, and it's now permeated into every segment of our government, every segment of our society, including the church, go figure. And so what we have is much similar to what Israel had thousands of years ago when they kicked the very God that formed them out of their nation. We've done the same thing. And what's left is a materialistic, hedonistic, humanistic society, which is what socialism is about, social Marxism. It's not about God. It's not about our Christian Judeo-Christian foundation by which our nation was founded. Now, if people think I'm preaching, then that's even
but
more indicative of how how sad it is they don't understand. Because if you go back, and I said it in the last segment, the Declaration of Independence is a profound sermon. And I don't think you hear that said very often. We don't think of the Declaration as a sermon, and yet it is one of the most profound sermons ever written and published. I challenge people to go do that. I challenge people to go look at it and read it slowly and let me know if it's not a sermon. I know what I just said. It's a Declaration of Independence by Thomas Jefferson and John Adams as part of the committee to write it. Thomas Jefferson did the preponderant majority of the writing of it. But it is a sermon that set out the foundation of this nation, the foundation of our government, and how our government should be in submission, meaning cooperation, to the God of all. And we have left that. We have left it completely. And that is part of a very skilled, choreographed program to remove our foundation from this nation and to turn us into something we were never, ever intended to be. And I believe we're paying the costs for that. Mr. Trump comes in, and I mentioned this at the last segment also, a couple of days before the election. Actually, it was posted. I'm looking at it right now. I posted this on several of the publications I write for on Sunday, November 6th. So that was 2 days before the election. I posted how Mr. Trump, I believe, was a modern-day Cyrus in accordance with Isaiah 45. If you go back and read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, you'll see that he talks about Cyrus that came forward because Israel was in such dire shape that it was about to be annihilated. America was in the same condition at this last election. And God raised up somebody who, by the way, was not a Jew. Cyrus was not a Jew. And he brought him forward to save the Jews. It's just a remarkable story of a man who came forward, who did not have all the polish and all the rounded edges and all of that, similar to Trump, and he led the people out of annihilation. Well, I believe Mr. Trump's doing the same thing. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. Does he need some rounded edges? I think so. But at the same time, this man is sounding the trumpet, if no pun intended, he's sounding the trumpet, rallying the people. And I believe the five questions that I'm proposing today that people start asking their candidates, and again, it doesn't matter if it's for city council, you start asking your candidates, and I don't care if he's an incumbent of several years. I don't care if he's a very solid Republican. It doesn't matter to me anymore. We're going to lose this nation unless we put people back into office at all levels that understand what our forefathers went through and what they gave to us. If I could do a commercial, I wrote, and I know you guys know this, I wrote a little booklet on Kindle. It's on Kindle, Amazon Kindle for $5. Nothing I can retire on. $5. I think I'm doing the right. Kindle, Amazon, or Amazon Kindle, however they say it. It's called Our Forefathers Truly Appealed to Heaven. I wrote this 2 years ago, right before the elections, and I talked about how our forefathers, George Washington, and even before that, Christopher Columbus, appealed to heaven because they recognized what they were involved in was far greater than they could ever handle on their own, and that they needed help that man would never give them. And so they went to their knees. It's a great little booklet. It takes about 25 minutes to read, I've been told by many people who've ordered it. It's $5 on Amazon Kindle. And in there, I talk about the same thing I discussed on November 6th, 2 days before the election, and the same thing I'm discussing today and what I just read to you. If we continue down the path of ignoring what our foundation was laid and meant to be, which is our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, our nation will cease to exist. I believe Mr. Trump has been given to us as a window of opportunity for us to decide who shall we follow. And I really think that's the bigger question today. All these investigations, all of the stuff that's taking place is noise. It has been developed to render him ineffective. But what it has done, and I love what you guys said, it has boomeranged back on the people who are the authors of this noise. Because what they have done is they have revealed the absolute degradation and nefariousness that they've all promoted and have used the government and all of our resources to pad their own pockets and to empower themselves at our expenses. And I believe that's being revealed. And as it continues to be revealed, I think somewhere along the line, sooner rather than later, it is going to require a grand jury investigation or a special prosecutor, because the breadth of this, including the pedophilia that has been rampant in our own government, is so humongous that it's going to warrant having to be investigated, because what's going to come out, I believe, what's already starting to appear is just how people have gotten into elected office and have padded their own pockets and have created an environment for themselves without regard for those that they serve. And so I'm arguing to the population now, start asking these questions. And you demand, not just request, you demand some answers. You demand answers to these questions from every candidate, whether they're an incumbent or they're running for the first time. Because we've got to decide as a people, as a nation, who are we going to submit to? Are we going to submit to the rule of law as our Constitution and our Declaration has outlined, which is in accordance with Judeo-Christian heritage, or are we going to submit to social Marxism? And that's really where we're at, and that's what Mr. Trump's calling out.
I think that's a good point. And,
well said.
And while we're all doing that, a lot of times people go at this type of thing, you know, go ask these questions. But if the person is answering the question the way you think they should, take the answer as the answer. You know, I could just see this, you know, people will be trying to trip them up because they think they're lying or something. I don't know. I mean, we do have people who believe all of these things. It's not everybody who's, you know, who's wallowing in this this corruption. So it's incumbent upon us to be smart enough to notice who's in and who's out, I guess. We do have to separate. We've got to take a really quick break, and then we will be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. And the super silly part of the show was last hour. This is like the serious. We get down to the meat here and the potatoes, and I believe we'll be having vegetables in the next segment.
And don't forget the gravy. Yeah, right on top.
Be right back. Shrek.
Yeah, I think that was on Shrek. Yeah.
Well, God, you're right.
Unlike the kids of today, you hear the 70s songs and they always know what movie they're from.
It was actually a 90s song.
It was? Oh.
Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping? No.
Oh, why didn't I know that?
Number one on the charts and in your heart, 1997.
Wow. Huh. I stopped listening after 1970-something. I stopped taking in new
music. It was all trash after
new
that.
Music.
It was all
trash. Garbage.
So, Lyle, I got a question for you. You know,
what's your question, Bill?
Well, my question is this:
first-time caller, long-time listener.
First, I'd like to make a statement and then follow it up with a question.
The wild card line is open.
You know, back when our previous president was in office, he stood up and said that America was not based on Judeo-Christian values. Which really kind of threw me for a loop. I mean, I don't know how he could
say that. It was right after he said the people who ran businesses didn't build them.
Didn't build them, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
There's a lot of bizarre things he said there. But, you know, I think they're continuing down that line of thought in the media today, which I hope we're countering. However, with the things that have taken place, where do you stand on treason? Because I think they've really crossed the line on a lot of this stuff.
That's the answer to everything. Everybody committed treason.
Well, everybody says treason. But you know what? I think there is some treason going on.
You want to jump on the treason boat. Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that's
no, 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 no. Oh, I think there's
all right,
some
Bill,
treason.
This will be your only call.
Okay, sorry. I slid that in.
Kidding.
Yeah, I got right past the call screener. So where do you stand on that?
You're banned.
Where do you stand on the treason issue, Lyle?
Well, I believe there has been treason committed. I think if you look at what Hillary Clinton did with the Uranium One discussion right now, an investigation,
that's
clear treason. She gave Russia nuclear weaponry through our most finest uranium that is used clearly and specifically for nuclear weapons. She gave it to them. I don't know how you can defend that any other way other than to say it is treason.
No, I agree. But then they'll come back and say, well, no uranium actually traded hands. And we know that's a lie.
I was going to say that's not true. And we know
that doesn't count anymore, though. Nobody cares about that. Right. they just say it didn't happen, and that means it didn't happen, right?
Well, and that's what they're hoping, is that people's attention spans are so short that they won't really ask or remember what they do ask, but they don't ask the penetrating questions. That's why I'm asking people to start standing up and asking these five questions and not sitting back down in whatever meeting they're at until that question is answered. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with what Bill's saying. There are grounds here for people to be charged with treason. That is not a lightly stated comment, and it's not politically motivated. It is clearly an act where they have gone ahead and made it very clear in multiple respects, not just the uranium, but some of the emails that Clinton gave, some of what Comey has testified and then went ahead and released to the public, I'm sorry, to the media and to other people, were classified documents. These are treasonous acts, and there's various stages of repercussions, but these are treasonous acts, and we've never seen this level of amorality, even during the Watergate era, it didn't reach this level of amorality and a lack of respect for the foundations and the beliefs and the conditions of this nation to protect this nation, the sanctity of this nation that we have seen over these last years. Obama did the same thing with Iran. Obama's done it with a number of other Muslim countries. One can argue, and that would be another show, and that would be something I'd bring Claire in on and actually a couple of other people, and we could have a roundtable discussion. But I believe he was a plant. I believe he was put here specifically to collapse the United States, our sovereignty, and weaken us in such a way that we were no longer a force for good and evil in this nation. And some of the things that he perpetrated were treasonous. We can say the same thing about other people who are now beginning to be revealed in even the pedophile actions that have been taken, that they have committed such treasonous acts because they've put themselves in positions of compromise that they were then accessed by foreign governments. I think that's going to come out. I think it's starting to come out. I think people have pay to play or play to pay, however you want to say it, where monies were exchanged in relationship to power, prestige, and position. These are all treasonous acts. I just you go back to our forefathers. They didn't put up with this
at all
because they recognized that if this nation was going, so conceived by God, was going to survive, then we had to live by the rule of law. And the rule of law, go back to the Declaration, go back to the Constitution and read them. It's based on biblical belief systems. And this is something that's just not taught, and it hasn't been taught since the 50s, 1950s, in our schools. I remember in school, and I'm older than y'all, but in the 1950s, we would open in prayer and then the Pledge of Allegiance, or Pledge of Allegiance and then the prayer. We did that every day. We were taught the Constitution. To graduate from eighth grade, I had to take a constitutional test as well as name the states and the capitals in each
state. Yep, we did too. We're pretty old.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, we're older than you think.
But you guys will remember then, we had to know large segments of the Constitution. Maybe not in minutia, but we had to understand the concept of it, the framework of it, the foundational belief systems of it. At least I did. And it's no longer taught. And so when you go back and study our founding documents, the rule of law for this nation, yes, I believe there's a number of folks that have committed treason. They should be held accountable. And what people don't realize is the National Defense Act that Obama signed, that came about through Bush after 9/11, and Obama renewed and continued to use, is what Mr. Trump just enforced about a week or two ago. And people have come unglued, saying that the president cannot use military force to imprison people. That's not true. It's under the National Defense Act, and I'll send that to you if you all want. But under executive order, all he did was renew what Obama claimed, and what Obama did was renewed what Bush instituted.
Yeah, but they were both psychologically unfit. what about what about all these leaks? You know, here a while back there was like a gal who was a White House staffer that they actually busted for leaking a document or something to the press, and they actually arrested her. It kind of went away and got real quiet. I don't know whatever happened to her, but. That was never put up with before. I mean, if you worked in the White House and you leaked something, man, you were going down for the count. And now it just seems like you get a slap on the wrist because, you know, you had good intentions. And, you know, what's up with that?
I think, again, it goes back to the absence of support and adherence to the rule of law. And I think what we're seeing is Mr. Trump now not only empowering law enforcement, but he's re-empowering the United States, the Department of Justice, to enforce the Constitution. And again, the elites are absolutely appalled by this. They want him removed at every cost or at any cost. He has gone back in time, if you'll allow me this for theatrical, to make some points here. He's gone back in time to reengage our nation and have us come back into the foundational beliefs our forefathers instituted. And it's so, nobody has done this since Reagan. Reagan did it, and he was not well received, but I think Mr. Reagan had a better understanding of how the political system works, so he was able to manipulate it somewhat. Mr. Trump is,
he's doing it wrecking ball fashion.
Yeah. Which is exactly what we need at this point in time, but it also creates some angst. I appreciate that. But if you listen, forget all the theatrics and all that. If you listen and read what Trump is saying versus what Reagan said and wrote, they're one and the same.
It's funny you say that, because I was going to say earlier, he's the first one since Reagan that has tried to put morality back in government, and they're all
Correct.
Going crazy. They're all
Correct.
They don't want to go there.
No. And it goes back to what I read by Rabbi Kahn here in his book. And by the way, let me do a commercial for, and I don't get a penny out of it, but by Jonathan Kahn, C-A-H-N, Jonathan Kahn, mm-hmm. It's called The Paradigm. And in the book, The Paradigm, that just came out, it's called The Ancient Blueprint That Holds the Mystery of Our Times. What Rabbi Kahn is talking about, I believe, and I just started his book, but what he's talking about is cycles and how nations, just like individuals, will go through cycles or trends, if you will, and that a trend will repeat itself. And if we're not on guard, if we're not protective, if we're not watching carefully, and also if we have lost a firm foundation of our values, be it individually or as a nation, then we are prone to fall in these trends or these cycles that repeat themselves. And how America is falling or has fallen in a cycle where they've removed God, where we've removed God, one could argue starting in the 60s.
Yep.
And what happens as that continues, and that's what I was reading to you, is what takes place in a nation. In that case, he was talking about Israel, but he was, if you read further in what, which I didn't, but if you read further, he talks about the parallel between Israel and the United States. And what the United States is doing is what Israel has already done back in biblical days. And so we are now experiencing the repercussions of that. And Bill, that's what you're talking about, I believe. And that is when we have an absence of morality in government as well as in our society, in civilization out here amongst us, we will see not only the ruination of the rule of law, but we'll see chaos, spiritual,
sure.
emotional, social chaos. And I think that's what we were heading toward very, very rapidly under Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Sure. And, well, although, Tina Turner wasn't in the Bible, I do think it's turning a lot of our cities into, Thunderdome. It's starting to, I think that's what the chaos looks like. And when they made that Mad Max series years ago, it was futuristic, and, some of the time you drive around parts of our towns, and I don't care what town you're in, especially with all this, legal marijuana and all this jazz, you start driving around and looking, and it's like, it's looking like more like Thunderdome every day. And that is not a good trend. Yeah. We've got to take one more quick break on that happy note, and we'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
When you feel like there's a sign there on your back, says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match, filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back, and
I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying, if you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it.
Out of the ruins, out from the wreckage, can't make the same mistake this time.
There you go.
We don't need another hero.
Put it, Tina. Stay away from the midget and the giant and the weird guy with the helicopter.
Yeah.
Make sure you hoard gas, by the way. I learned a lot of things from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
From the soundtrack of Mad Max. Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
There you go.
So, Lyle.
Hey, if I could, real quickly.
Yeah.
January 15th, a week from now, will be a day that is scheduled for a major public announcement by General Horowitz. And General Horowitz was assigned by Trump to do a one-year investigation into the deep state. And this goes back to Bill's question, will there be any public investigations, indictments, things like that. On January 15th, there will be a public announcement or thereabouts showing the results of Inspector Horowitz's investigation, year-long investigation into the deep state. And all of that has come out of it, from the Russia to all the rest of it. And that will be a very huge day. Going back to the question of
He's an inspector general. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's an inspector
general. I'm sorry,
general.
I thought he was a military general. All right.
Yeah, no. Inspector general that was assigned, and he's been – nobody talks about all this because of all this other stuff. The other thing, going back to treason, I don't think I answered Bill's question very well. A lady by the name of Evelyn Farkas was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia under Obama, and she also was a direct source to Obama. In other words, he assigned her to do the illegal wiretapping of Donald Trump, and also she was involved in the fake Russian dossier. Her name has now surfaced, and up to this time, it has never been known, Evelyn Farkas. And she is been subpoenaed, and she is a direct link to Obama personally. And this will have major repercussions going back to treason, going back to the issues of how all of this has been colluded very sophisticatedly, and how Obama has used the agencies and the cabinet-level departments to almost, we could argue, bring a coup against Mr. Trump. So I just wanted to throw those things out.
Outstanding.
I also will, also send you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, you need to keep us posted on that. We're totally out of time. But once that information is out, let's have you back on, and we'll do a little analysis on all of this, because it sounds like big doings going on.
Yeah, later this month.
Yep, you better get some extra water then. And do Rushmore sooner rather than later.
Not another 2 hours, you guys. You warned me out. I need to take a nap. Thank you. You all are great hosts. And you're just great hosts. Thank you. And thank Bill, Bob also. Bob plays great music.
Bob does play great music. That is the best part of the show. All right. Thanks a bunch, Lyle. We will be talking to you soon.
Thank
and
y'all.
We will post all of this stuff online. You can find it at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Then he rang his wife and found
here on KCNR, Shasta Redding.